Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell.
Good day, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
I hope you had a good night's sleep last night.
Snored my way right through it.
Well, great. I've got an article for you. Or actually, you've got an article for us. Obstructive sleep apnea is a disorder characterized by partial collapse of the upper airways during sleep. Untreated OSA has lots of consequences and some bad clinical associations, including being tired all day, impaired daytime function, some metabolic dysfunction, and perhaps even increased risk of cardiovascular disease and motor vehicle accidents and things like that. The goals of treating OSA are to resolve the signs and symptoms, improve sleep quality, improve quality of life, and if you can prevent any of these really bad things, maybe even prevent or lengthen someone's life. In moderate to severe forms of OSA, patients should be offered positive airway pressure. However, in milder forms of OSA, when people prefer not to have this device, or perhaps they fail to respond to it, oral appliances are an alternative type of therapy. Once the diagnosis of OSA is confirmed, there's a big need for patient education. There are lots of things that fall into the lifestyle arena that we can suggest, including you know, weight loss and careful driving and avoiding alcohol. I think there's some studies to suggest that if you can encourage people to not sleep in a supine position and avoid medications that depress CNS, such as benzodiazepines, etc., that you can have perhaps some minimal effects. But then there are these oral appliances. How do these appliances work and how effective are they? Well, Mark has dug through the annals and archives of medical literature and found something from JAMA Internal Medicine, published in 2015. It starts on page 1278. It asks the question, can an oral appliance decrease snoring, improve quality of life, and decrease daytime sleepiness in patients with mild to moderate OSA, obstructive sleep apnea? Mark, what did they do?
I have patients that swear by sewing a tennis ball into a T-shirt so that they don't sleep on their back. A little personal note, I was on a fairly small sailboat with three other middle-aged men, one of whom, you know, would, I mean, the loudest snorer I've ever seen. But as soon as he turned on his side, quiet. But when he was on his back, you know, nobody else was sleeping. Sailboats are just not a good place for a snorer. So we're going to relegate him to the deck next time. Anyway, snoring, you know, it's a big issue in terms of quality of life and certainly sleep apnea in terms of daytime function. This was a Swedish study, and they had 96 patients who had mild to moderate obstructive sleep apnea. And those are the ones where we generally consider the appliances. And they all had snoring and they all had daytime sleepiness that was troublesome. So this appliance, as our listeners know, pushes the jaw forward to maintain an open airway. This was a well-designed study, and they did the best they could to mask the patients to whether they were in the treatment or the control group. Basically, they either got a custom-fitted oral appliance or they got a placebo appliance that actually didn't move the jaw. You know, they had to put this thing in, but it really did nothing to improve the airway. Mm-hmm. Patients were not told of their treatment assignment, but, you know, if they were industrious and really wanted to know, they could probably look these up on the internet and see if they had a real one or a fake one. In any case, at the end of the study, at 4 months, there was no difference in daytime sleepiness. Then they used the Epworth score, which is the usual metric. They also didn't measure sleep, didn't see any improvement in sleep resistance, quality of life, functional outcomes of sleep. But on the bright side, snoring was improved. Restless legs, so, you know, kicking your partner, was improved. So I think the partner may certainly appreciate these appliances. And measures of OSA, like the apnea hypopnea index, were improved. So some of these sort of surrogate markers, as well as markers of what's going on at night, which may be distressing to the partner. You know, the partner is listening to loud snoring, then all of a sudden there's quiet, and then after a minute or so they start gasping. You know, there was less of that going on at night. So even if the bottom line is the oral appliances don't really make the patient feel better during the day, they may make the partner feel better at night.
I sort of like your tennis ball personally. we can start to manufacture shirts, tennis shirts.
Yeah, we don't have to do these stupid podcasts anymore.
Right.
Not that we'll get any money from this, but
right, exactly. Okay, Mark, we'll talk again next week.
All right, sounds good.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.